Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be a child of God. Hallelujah. And thanking Jesus this morning for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, and above all, for his kindness and love. Thanking God. As we get started this morning, just want to tell God, thank you. You know, today our title is coming out of Romans chapter 10, and it just says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must, his word is important. You know, so many times we think we can just, oh, well, I'm good. We got to read the word. We got to hear the word. We got to work the word. We got to be the word. We got to stand on the word. We got to trust in the word. Because God's word is true. And with faith, we hear it. Hear it. I may not be able to speak it. I may not be able to see it. But I thank God that we can hear it. There are times where I just put it on my phone and just let it play. I put it on my iPad and just let it play, so that it's getting in my spirit as I sleep. I was, the other morning, I woke up because I went to bed and I was reading the word, and I guess I fell asleep. And I woke up with it laying on my heart. Woke up with my Bible laying on my heart. And it did something. It just touched me because it said, you know, I went to sleep with the word in and on my heart, because I was listening to it and reading it and studying to sleep with it laying on my heart. The word should be in our heart, on our heart, in our heart. And we have to have faith. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let us pray this morning. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word, Lord God, that we can be heard of your word, that we can have faith in what we hear, knowing that the word was divinely anointed and appointed by you and spoken by you. Father God, let your word sink into our hearts, minds, and spirits. We'll know how to fight, but we will know how to work the work that you have called us to do. Lord God, I ask for strength. I ask for wisdom. I ask for healing of everything in my life, body, mind, spirit, externals like finances. Lord God, I need healing in every area of my life. We all need healing in every area of our lives, Lord God. That you will make us stronger, wiser, better. That we will appreciate the blessings we have. For many of us are blessed to be blessings. Lord God, I thank you this morning strengthen our body, mind, and soul, Lord God, with ears open to hear your word. Lord God, we thank you for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Lord God, to continue to guide us and lead us in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, let your Holy Spirit light up in us wherever we go, that we may be light in darkness, strength in weakness, and hope for the hopeless. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Lord, I pray that the humble words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart will be acceptable in your sight. For Father God, you are my strength and my redeemer, and there is none like you. Father God, as you increase and I decrease, all I can say is thank you, Father, for your grace, mercy, goodness, and kindness, and for your love toward us. Gave your Son for our sins, that we may have an opportunity for eternal life. And it's in his name I pray, believing and trusting in you and having faith as I hear and speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I pray this morning, as you hear this word, that it touches your heart, it touches your mind, and it touches your spirit. And we will be in Job chapter 11, verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 25. And again, Job has spoken what he had to say on yesterday. Job, as I say, Job said his piece. That's how they used to say where I grew up. Just say your piece and keep on moving. So Job said his piece on yesterday. And so now one of his friends, and I put friends quotations, because, you know, sometimes folks can think they're your friends, and they are not. They are an acquaintance. And his friends are wanting to make Job realize, saying, you must have done something. All this pain and all this suffering you're going through cannot be for any reason but that you did something wrong. And sometimes we go through not because we did something wrong, but because we are going through our test. And, you know, some of us go through tests every day. Some of us go through tests periodically. Some of us don't ever go through a test. At least we don't think we're going through a test. But I know I'm being tested because it is hot and my essential air has decided that it is not working anymore. So I am like, okay, God, thank you. And in the midst, you would think that you would want to complain and why it's too hot and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I give God honor, I give God glory, I give God hallelujah praise that I have fans in my ceiling. Hallelujah. I turned on my ceiling fan, had the best night's sleep I've had in a minute. No central air, because you know what? Growing up, I didn't have central air. We had fans. And so I got a fan in every room, and I'm thankful that I got a fan in every room and that God has given us fresh air. I got windows. And right now it's cool, so I'm letting in some fresh air and letting in God's cool air to cool it off. You know, of course, I'll get it fixed, but I just wanted to say, you know, the devil wants us to whine and complain. But I said, I'm going to praise God in the midst of it. So, Lord, thank you this morning for fans in the ceiling. Thank you this morning for your fresh wind blowing through. Thank you this morning, Lord, for waking me up. Ooh, hallelujah, from a good night's rest. So don't complain. Thank God for what you got. Hallelujah. So I thank God for the fans. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say in the word of God this morning, then Zophar and the Naamahite answered and said, now this is another friend, Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be vindicated? Should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? For you have said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in your eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you, that he would show you the secrets of wisdom, for they would double your prudence. Know, therefore, that God extracts from you less than your iniquity deserves. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deep than Sheol, what can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by, imprisons and gathers to judgment, then who can hinder him? For he knows deceitful men. He sees wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For an empty-headed man will be wise when a wild donkey colt is born a man. All right, now. If you will prepare your heart and stretch out your hand toward him, if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot, yet could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away, and your life would be brighter than noonday. Though you were dark, you would be like the morning, and you would be secure because there is hope. Yes, you would dig around you and take your rest in safety. You would also lie down and no one would make you afraid. Yes, many would court your favor, but the eyes of the wicked will fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope loss of life. That's a friend not holding his peace. So, you know, Job ain't playing now. He's about to answer him. And we will do life lessons after we do chapter 11 and 12. And then we'll go back and do the life lessons from this word. So now Job is about to answer his friend who could not hold his peace. And what did he tell him? He said, pretty much, should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And so he's like, I'm not holding mine. And so Job was about to answer Zophar, the Nemahite. And it says, Job has got something to say. And then Job answered and said, no doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things as these? I am one mocked by his friends who called on God, and he answered him. The just and blameless who is ridiculed. A lamp is despised in the thought of one who is at ease. It is made ready for those who feet slip. The tents of robbers prosper, and those who provoke God are secure in what God provides by his hand. But now ask the beast, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Does not the ear test words and the mouth taste its food? Wisdom is with aged men and with length of days understanding. With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. If he breaks a thing down, it cannot be rebuilt. If he imprisons a man, there can be no release. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the earth. With him are strength and prudence. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads counselors away, plunders and makes fools of the judges. He loosens the bonds of kings and binds their wrists with a belt. He leads princes away, plundered, and overthrows the mighty. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on princesses and disarms the mighty. He uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations away the understanding of the chief of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. Okay, we heard that. Now let's get a life lesson from Dr. Stanley from Job chapter 11. Can you search out the deep things of God? Is a question that Job was asked by his friend. And you know, I called him a so-called friend, but a friend is a friend. And the thing is, they really are trying to speak to him from their heart, not understanding everything. But sometimes we as friends talk when we need to be quiet. We can't hold our peace when we need to hold our peace. And so we speak out of turn. And understand, God's going to shut it all down in a few minutes. And well, not a few minutes. Before we end Job, let's say that. God will shut it down and God will give the 411. He will let everybody know, let me give you some information here. But for right now, everybody's speaking their mind, their soul, their spirit, what's on their heart. They're not holding their peace. And as we hear, this is what it says, can you search out the deep? So far, ask good questions, but he should have directed them at himself, not merely at Job. God is in heaven, the Bible tells us, and you on earth, therefore let your words be few. Again, we need to learn to be quiet and keep our tongues behind our teeth. We don't always have to have an answer for everything. The best thing to do is to be quiet. Listen. Now, if it's something nice, and don't say anything. And we got to go back to the way we were taught as children. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Just hold your peace. And it's not for y'all. I'm talking to me. You know, because sometimes, you know, as ministers, we think we can solve everybody's problems. We can't. What we need to do is hold our peace because God is the problem solver. Because we got to learn how to tell our problems about our God. Just like I had to tell my air conditioner about my God. And that, don't worry, you're off right now, but you're going to be back on. But I'm thanking God because I done told my problem about God that it's hot, but God said, I got you a fan. Don't worry, I got you a fan. Whew, and I thank God for my fan. I thank God for the cool air that is sending out through the room. I thank God that he still gave me air and cool air, even in the midst of the east. Come on now. We got to learn the problems about our God and not think that we got to say everything because God is in charge and God will tell us what he will and will not do. And when we go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, just walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. We'll say, draw near to what? Hear. Come on now. Got to have that faith. And it goes on to tell us, do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And we're going to go over down again. These are about keeping God. Fear God and keep your vows. It says, verse 3 says, for a dream comes through many activities, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. So if I say I'm going to pay you back what I borrow and I don't pay you back, then I've broken a vow. That I have gone against what I said I would do. If I said I'm going to give you the shoes off my feet, and then I keep on stepping, and you standing there with no shoes. Oh, wait, because I actually have another pair of shoes in my book bag. And I said I would give you what I have, and then I don't give it. Then I'm not doing what I vow. We don't make vows that we don't keep. And then it goes on to tell us, this is the last two verses, it says, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Now say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. But fear God. But I love this verse. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. And you know, back in the day, they say, don't let your mouth, you know, say something. Do get you in trouble so that some other parts of you get your behind so up. Because sometimes folks can talk so much and get beat down. You know, the talkers, you know, talking a whole bunch of mess. And no, they can't back it up. We can't talk mess to God. Because we can't back it up. We need to keep our mouth shut, but don't make vows that you're not going to keep. Well, Lord, I think I'm going to, now, Lord, if you do this, then I will do this. If you do that, then I will. Nuh-uh, we don't negotiate with God. What God is going to give you, he's going to give you. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't negotiate with God. What God has for you is for you, and it's irrevocable. So you don't have to go trying to negotiate with God. And maybe what you're going through is for a purpose and a reason as well, to get some other things that you need to do done. Come on now. Job chapter 12, verse 4, I am one mocked by his friends, the just and blameless, who is ridiculed. God had called Job a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Job chapter 1, verse 8. And it said, yeah, Job's friends mocked and ridiculed him in his distress. When will we learn the truth of Matthew 12 and 7? And we'll go to Matthew 12 and 7. God is wanting us to be kind to each other. We don't always have to give our sanctified opinion on everything that's going on. Because sometimes we need to, again, be hearers and not talkers. God has got work for each of us to do. And he wants us to do what he has called us. And so I'm going to put this all into context. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 7 is spoken by Jesus. But we're going to go back to verse 1 of chapter 12. And the title of this section is Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And this is what it says. This is to put it all in context. It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck ears of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees, so heavenly minded, know earthly good, saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Why have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus didn't blame. And neither does our Father God. And another life lesson from Dr. Stanley in Job chapter 12 and 13, with him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. And Dr. Stanley says, especially when we find ourselves in painful and distressing circumstances, we must turn to the Lord for his wisdom and strength and guidance and knowledge. Where else can we go to find the help we need? Woo! Hallelujah. We got to put it on the altar. We got to give our situations to God and leave it and let God guide us and lead us in what we need to do. We got to get ourselves in order so God can do what he has to do. Praise the name of God this morning. Praise Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Come on now. Ooh, hallelujah. Our Lord God is victorious in all things. And we are victorious because we are his children. Our Psalms this morning is coming out of Psalms chapter 94, verses 1 through 11. And it says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs. Doesn't say vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? And we ask that question. We ask that question as people are careless about the sick and the shut-ins. They care less about folks that are hungry and in need, to care less if they put a widow or an orphan or a woman and children or families on the street because it's costing them a dollar. To care less about the least among us. And everything we better understand, we do, that is against God and against his word. For God says to take care of the widows and the orphans. God says to take care of the poor. God tells us to do what's right. And if we don't, it is on us. And this is what the word of God says. And I'm sure this is a Psalm of David, because David was going through, y'all know, being chased from here to there and everywhere by Saul. Saul lost his mind. Again, all about power. Power corrupts, and absolute power is corrupting. Folks, don't understand. Don't ask for the riches of the world. Ask for what God has for you. Because I'm telling you, folks have so much that they don't understand how to live with less. A word, and it just says, God, the refuge of the righteous. That's the title of this psalm. God, the refuge of the righteous. God is our refuge. He is who hides us in the cliff of the rock under his mighty wings. Don't worry about what he said, she said, woo-woo said, them and that said. Because I'm going to tell you this. Whatever they say cannot beat our God. We got to do what thus says the Lord. And this is what it continues in verse 4. It says, they utter insolent things, all the workers of iniquity, both in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger. Come on now. And murder the fatherless. What is going on right now in America? What is going on right now in countries all over the world right now? This word is a today word. Today word. Yes, they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Pastors standing in pulpits lying. For liars, lying. Have people all messed up, mixed up, full of hate and hatred for their brothers and sisters because of false prophets and false teachers distorting the word of God for their own financial gain. And this is what the word of God says in verse 8 of Psalms 94. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Don't play with God. There's that word again. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 to 25. Make no friendship with an angry man. Folks better hear that. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go. Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. I'm going to read those two verses again. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go. And I know that there are some folks that wishing that they did not go to certain things because they were with angry people and did not know that angry people do stupid stuff. And then it goes on to say, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Good people caught up in bad situations because they was with furious and angry folks. Good people, lives messed up because they was at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. When they heard that voice that said, don't go, do that. That's not right. Don't follow after that lie. Don't get involved with that situation. Voice of God speaking through the Holy Spirit to you. And then you got the devil on the other side who you think is your friend saying, oh, girl, it ain't gonna cause you no problem just to have that little beard when they know you have an alcoholic situation. Girl, you go on and take a puff. You know, this is the good stuff. And it ain't going to cause you to go back into doing, you know, you just take it. We just partying a little bit. Don't worry about, you know, just take a little puff. It's all good. Puff, puff, blow. You know, no big, not an issue. When they know you have a drug addiction. Girl, yeah, let's go on and go see that movie. You know, honey, it's just 50 Shades of Grey. You know, ain't no big deal. Girl, it ain't going to cause you to be going back watching porn when they know you have an issue with pornography. Girl, I know you married, but, you know, we all just hanging out. You know, we was all friends. Now, setting you up for a situation with an ex that they know that you had a lot of love for. But now you're married. You don't need to be hanging out with your ex anything. Unless you have children involved. And all you need to do is deal with the children and not with the flesh. But then they going to take you out. Know that you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do those things. That you put yourself in a situation where your husband finds out you was out with your ex in a compromising situation. Because, of course, they put it on Facebook. Come on now. We got to be careful of the company we keep. We've got to be careful of the company we keep. You don't step back with those old friends that sent you down the path to destruction, that almost had you locked up or had you out doing stuff you shouldn't have been doing, getting high, prostitution. All those things happen when you fall into the wrong crowds with the wrong people. Lying, cheating, stealing. Okay, and all the things that we're not supposed to do. Lying and cheating. And trying to make your lie into a truth. I was just happened to be flipping channels the other day and watched something called Paternity Court. I never heard of such a thing. But there's something on TV called Paternity Court. And this little girl was there with guy number, well, actually it was two of them. One of the guys was her mother's friend that she had slept with, basically her mama's boyfriend. She had slept with him and was wondering if he was the baby daddy. And then another guy that she had slept with, she wasn't sure if he was the baby daddy. Now, his mama said the baby looked just like him. And they put a picture up and the baby did look similar to him, this cute little baby. And then the court comes back, and they open the DNA test, and it says, you, whatever his name was, are not the baby's dad. It wasn't Mari. It was Paternity Court. And the judge looked at the girl. She just cried. She goes, I really wish he was yours. She said, but y'all know I was going through a bad time. Now, she's slept with about eight guys now. And the guy was like, I haven't even seen her since, you know, we broke up because I found out she was sleeping with somebody else. And she said, well, yes, I did. I told you I was pregnant. And he's like, I don't remember all that. But anyway, kind of thing. He was not the daddy. Then they got to the mama's friend, and, you know, the judge would ask mama, said, well, how do you feel if your friend winds up being your daughter's baby's father? And she said, he's a good man, and he's, you know, things happen, and I understand things happen, and, you know, and it was a mistake. I know it was a mistake on both their parts, and, you know, that we're going to sweep it under the rug, okay? And it comes back. He is not the daddy. So now, just in the court that I'm watching, two men are not the baby daddy. And there's like five or six more in that month of time that she was kicking it with. And she said, oh, it's just going through a bad time. So I tell you this, be careful who you're hanging with. Because if you're going through a bad time, you can do some stupid stuff in your life. So there's this baby out there. And the mama has no clue who the daddy is. That took everybody to Paternity Court, and not a one of them is the dad. And the lady tells her, she said, now this is your fifth or sixth time here in the court, and none of these men are the father. This should be telling you something. She says, I know. I'm back up. I'm, you know, crying, looking, wailing. But again, make no friendship with an angry man. And with her spirit, man, do not go unless you learn the voice of destiny for your soul. She hanging out with her friends and wind up messing up her life. Even so much as hurting her own mother by sleeping with her mother's boyfriend. It's because she was angry. She was feeling mad. She was going through. And now there's this innocent baby that she's trying to find a dad. We have to be very careful who you hang out with, who you listen to, where you go. God is watching everything that we do. And he wants the best for us. He is wisdom, he is strength, and he will give you. He will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Don't drink that beer. Don't smoke that blunt. Don't go down to your ex-boyfriend's house when you got you're a married woman. Don't hang out with the friends that you know have never had your best interest at heart. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 21. He says, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. And that's what we have to, that has to be our prayer for our friends, our family, to be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Ooh, hallelujah, that if you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I'm going to read it again. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Put it in your highlightables. That the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. But there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever, come on, Paul, you better preach this morning. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said it again. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now then, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Come on now. Woo! Are we? I say it again. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then they come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone up to all their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? Because Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient, contrary people. But God can't be disobedient. If you are called to preach, preach. If you are called to evangelize, evangelize. If you are called to be an apostle, build those churches. Make them better. If you are called to preach, preach them. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to God to tell the truth, to speak his word. Not mine, not yours, but his. And some life lessons Dr. Stanley has for our scripture today. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. When we place our faith in Christ, God looks at us just as he looks at Jesus, who completely obeyed the whole law without exception and without fault. The perfect record of Christ becomes ours through faith. Praise the Lord. Romans 10 and 13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus. Jesus. Ooh, we got to learn how to say it. But if you want to say Yeshua, you say Yeshua. You got to praise God. You got to call on the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ. In all things, we got to learn to say Jesus. And say God never offers salvation to someone and then pulls the rug out from under him when he tries to accept the gracious offering. Anyone who puts their faith in Christ will be saved and will receive eternal life. Hallelujah. What does the word tell us? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Who do you belong to? Have your word, your faith, Jesus Christ. And again, Romans 10 and 17. Our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I say it, that's our title this morning. Talked about this morning. It's talking about hearing in Psalms. Hearing in Job, hearing, we got to be careful who we listen to. You can't listen to everybody out on the internet saying they preach in the word of God. You can't listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry talking about what they know. What does the word of God say? When you go to a church and the Bible is not picked up through the whole service, you need to pack your Bible and walk out the door. And this is what it says, everything that we need to know in regard to salvation, what it is, why we need it, how we can receive it, can be found in God's word. God blesses us when we hear his promises and respond in faith to them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And our last thing from Dr. Stanley this morning is this, why we confess the resurrection. This is the life, this is answers to life's questions. And we may hit some other scriptures this morning if time permits. It says in Romans 10, 8 and 9, Paul declares the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. Confession and wholehearted belief. Wholehearted belief. I confess that Jesus is the Lord, that he is my Savior. I believe that he was raised from the dead by the Heavenly Father. And I know that he sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding every day, every minute, every hour for me. And I will be saved and have eternal life. And he goes and says, of course, a lot of religions claim to have the truth of salvation. But of all the prophets who have lived in this world, all of them are dead except for one. Unfortunately, those dead prophets can do nothing for us, and neither can their religions. Come on now. However, Christ, not only the one living prophet, but the Savior of the world, has conquered death. His grave is empty, and he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And what is he doing? He is interceding on our behalf before God. Dr. Stanley is all up in my message this morning. It goes on to say it. Jesus Christ not only to teach, preach, heal, and forgive us, but to give us resurrection life. That's a father of the revelation in the knowledge of him, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power who believe according of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And that's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20, if you'd like to write on that scripture. We have the power of God, our life, power that defeats death, and anything we face require more power than that. Not only that, but Christ gives us the hope of heaven and the encouragement of knowing that we need never fear death. Similarly, our loved ones are not doomed to the cold caskets of this world. If they die in Christ as believers, they are in the presence of Almighty God already. And one day, I'm saying that again, and one day, when Christ returns, they will be raised in bodily resurrection. We will join them, and we will be transformed to the redeemed heavenly bodies that we will have for all eternity. So then, why do we confess the resurrection? Because it is the most encouraging word ever spoken. Christ is risen. Say it with me, y'all. Christ is risen. And I say it for the Father, Son, and now for the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. And we know that since Christ has risen, we will do not only for the death of every individual, from all the miseries that this world contains. Hallelujah. Both this things from Romans 6:4-11, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 and 22, 2 Corinthians 4:14, and Philippians 3:10-11. And I would say, as always, when you read those words, read it in context. If you got to go above it or go underneath it, read the word in context so you get the whole absolute scripture. So that's our worship this morning. And as always, before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Please keep her in your prayers. She is traveling. And we ask God to bring her back safely. From her destination. And so please keep our sister in Christ in your prayers as she is vacationing this week. And a word that she has is a word we say on a regular here, push. And this morning she said, when you are starting to feel defeated, it's when you push. Pray until something happens. Prayer changes things. Have a Talk to God Tuesday. Again, also gotta hear. And when you hear, you gotta do what thus says the Lord. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's push this morning, family. Let's pray until something happens. For God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye saints, serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let's give praise unto the Lord today, family. Push. Let us pray until something happens. And watch God work. Hallelujah. I thank God for his mighty word this morning. I thank God for each of you tuning in. And ask you to come join me again, God willing, on tomorrow as we study the word of God and keep this word in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a highlightable that should be in your arsenal, because we got to be quiet so we can hear the word of God and hear the voice of God leading us down the right and righteous path to eternal life. Thank you so much. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. Precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours that you have a blessed and wonderful day, that you continuously keep God first in all that you do. And Father God, we pray a special prayer for our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who is traveling. Ask you, Lord God, to watch over her and bring her safely home, that all things will work for our good as you work for ours. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the fans. I thank you for the air that circulates in my home. I thank you, Lord God, knowing that everything is for a purpose and a reason. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy toward all of us as we move to this day. Lord God, may your name be the name we speak when we wake and the name we speak when we slumber. And it's the name of Christ Jesus. We thank you, Christ Jesus, for your love, for your sacrifice, for your grace and your mercy for all of us, and for your intercession. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. For it is a wrap. Have a blessed day, family. Please join me, God's will, on tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward through the word of God. Be blessed. It's a wrap.